WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, presents Lehigh Valley Discourse. Provocative, informative, and newsworthy, Lehigh Valley Discourse brings you the people and the issues that move and shape our region, here on WDIY.
Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and I think we have a terrific show for you to listen to this evening. It's one of our local, I'm going to call her a celebrity, but she's one of our local business leaders and also a recent author. And I'm really pleased to have Anne Corley Brown with us this evening. Anne has been active in our community for many years. She's been recognized by many civic and business associations for her contributions, and I'm going to let her share that because that list would probably take up our whole show. And as I said, she has added author to her credentials. So tonight we're going to be exploring her road to becoming an author and how she got the idea for these books that she's put together, which are great books for anybody in business and even not in business for you to understand working with people. Anne, welcome.
Well, thank you, Sally. Thank you for having me.
Could you, Anne, share a little bit about your background with our listeners so they understand maybe what helped to make the basis for your deciding to write a book or two or maybe three?
Certainly. I have been involved in the business world throughout my career, and I've always been intrigued by behavior and how behavior had such a significant impact on the success or lack thereof of individuals. So I've constantly been looking at and observing etiquette, behavior, tone of voice, body language. And it's been of interest to me for a long time. I've been involved in the healthcare industry for more years than I'm willing to say, on both the provider side, the employer side, and the insurance side. And I've also been involved in coaching individuals on how their behavior has an impact on their success. And all through the process, I would keep notes and track what people were doing and how it impacted them. And I finally decided that it was my obligation as a leader to share that back with others so that they could learn not only from my observations, but also my own personal mistakes that I was able to learn from. So why not give people the opportunity to avoid it and be successful without making some of those mistakes along the way?
Well, that's a wonderful gift to give the community, because I will tell you, after reading your books, I had a sort of chuckle and say, aha, there's that person. I mean, you really, I think, nailed it in both your books. Now, you have Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed and Four Interviews, with the series being Small Mistakes, Big Consequences. What a terrific title for the series, Anne.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So, as you said, you were observant and you were watching people and intrigued by their behavior. How did you sort of decide on which book to do first? And are you looking at doing any more after this?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. Yes, I have a book in the works right now. Again, same series, Small Mistakes, Big Consequences. And this one is for video and conference calls. And I think it's very timely with the amount of time that people are spending on video calls these days. That's the next one in the works. And now I can't remember. What was your first question?
Developing your soft skills to help you succeed and for interviews. How did you pull it all together and decide to do those two?
Well, as I was keeping track, I had this little notebook where I would write down things that I would observe. And I was trying to figure out the easiest way to communicate these lessons without somebody having to read like a 250-page book. I'm always challenged by business book where you read it and it takes all these pages to communicate a message that you could learn in a few pages. And then I thought, well, as I looked at some of these behaviors, these character names came to my mind. And I thought, well, gosh, why don't I make it a little bit funny, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, something by giving people character names that anybody could recognize. And by having it be funny, tongue-in-cheek, and easy to recognize, that could translate into easy to learn.
And to remember, because as I was going through them, I thought, this is great, because you can remember based on the names you've given these folks.
Yes, and then it's easy to catch yourself, too, saying, oh, shoot, I'm acting like the transmitter. I need to be quiet and just listen.
Well, and just for our listeners, in her book, Small Mistakes, Big Consequences, Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed, the transmitter is one of the characters, but there's the table groomer, the celebrity, the wandering eye, the professor. And I think as I tell you these, you can sort of, in your own mind, start to picture people who would be identified with those titles. The name dropper, the empty promiser. I thought they were great, Anne. I thought you really did a nice job in assessing those.
Thank you. Well, I wanted it to be fun, too. I'll tell you, Sally, when you want to talk to people about business etiquette, it makes people so uncomfortable. Their perception of it is that it's hoity-toity or elitist, and it's really not. It's really just about how you best interact with others. And by giving it a different name and making it fun, I think there's a much better chance that individuals will embrace it and actually learn from it.
Well, I think you're correct. And I think the format that you've put both of these books in, it makes for light reading. It is tongue-in-cheek with some of them. I almost went through and started putting names to some of the chapters as I was reading. But, of course, my own wasn't in there. I just thought that it was a size, and it's so easy that you can go back and reflect on it periodically and say, okay, that's what I did wrong, or this is why that occurred. I thought it was a great idea the way you put it together.
I wanted it to be easy to read, portable, and also inexpensive, not have it be something that's out of reach for anyone.
And I'm assuming that your third one that you talked about, your one on video and conference calls, will be in the same format, the same portability?
It will. Yes. The plan for the series is to always have a similar format, 60 to 70 pages, easy to read, small in size, where you could put it into your briefcase, your portfolio, your purse, and have it be something that regardless where you are in your career, whether you're just starting or whether you've been in business for a long time, that it's something that can be of value and used over the period of your career.
Well, and I also thought it was interesting, Anne, that you basically put it in the format for both peers and managers.
I thought it was really important in describing these behaviors not to just label someone and have it be a negative against the other person, but also offer not only advice to the individual so that they can learn how to present their best version of themselves, but also for managers to coach their employees on how to mm-hmm. overcome some of these behaviors. And also for somebody who maybe isn't in a position to coach someone, but has to deal with someone who's exhibiting one of the behaviors and teach them how to deal with that individual so that it doesn't get in the way of building good, solid relationships.
Or get in the way of conducting business or what has to be done by the organization. So often things get sort of in a quagmire just because personalities aren't understanding each other.
That's right. I think that happens more than we realize, Sally, that there are many deals or results that aren't achieved simply because of behavior and personality, and not really the essence of the deal, but more the essence of the people.
I would agree with that. Now, you have an interesting background with etiquette and business manners, and I'd like you to share, if you wouldn't mind, the education that you got in D.C. on protocol. That might give a little bit more insight to some of our listeners as to where you're coming from.
I am certified by the Protocol School of Washington, and I went there for a number of courses. This is a certification entity that teaches about business protocol, business etiquette, and how it is important in the business world. When I was a young girl, I participated in classes about basic etiquette, and I was always intrigued by it. So as I advanced in my career, particularly in the coaching realm, I found learning the ins and outs of dining etiquette, business etiquette, interactions, how valuable that is to an individual's success. And I wanted to take that knowledge and spin it in a way that was easy for people to learn from and also easy to remember, so that it is something that becomes a natural behavior and not something that one has to think about or worry about or be too overly nervous about. Etiquette is how you behave and how others perceive you. It's not a book of rules that you have to follow or not follow. It's about how you're able to build relationships. And that is valuable to anybody, whether in business or even just in your community or your neighborhood.
Well, and that's just it. And this book, although I know your target market is, you know, people in the business community, it's applicable to everybody.
Thanks. I think in our world, we're always building relationships. Whether you're trying to get the playgroup together to celebrate the Halloween parade, or whether you're trying to do something in church or your community or in the business world, it's all about relationships and understanding others and behavior. And the more aware we can be of our own behavior, the better chance we have of success.
Now, I recall back in, I'm not going to say when, last century, when I went into banking, etiquette and protocol were extremely important in the financial community. But do you see that? I mean, in this day and age of social media and working at home and all that kind of stuff, do you see it as still being as important or maybe even more important today?
It's always important. It's just the way etiquette is presented varies based on the medium that you're using. And an easy way to think about it is perception is reality to the person that's doing the perceiving.
Uh-huh.
So you and I meet each other and you immediately make assumptions about me. And I immediately make assumptions about you. They're subconscious. We can't control them. They may not be right, but it happens. And those assumptions lay the groundwork for the relationship. So whether it's items you're posting on Instagram or things that you're tweeting about, that's creating an image of you, no different than when you meet face-to-face or across a video conference or across a boardroom table. And it's really important to think about your behavior being the best it can be to deliver the version of you that you want others to perceive. They're going to perceive it no matter what. Putting your best foot forward gives you the best chance of that perception matching the reality of who you are and what it is that you bring to the table.
Makes sense. Actually, it may even be more magnified today in the fact that when you're on a conference call or a video call or whatever, the focus can be on you and how you're basically presenting yourself, holding yourself, to responding to the other comments, because the visual there is basically just you.
Right. And the interesting thing about that, Sally, is if you're in this gallery of faces, if you were in a room, you could see if somebody is looking at you. Mm-hmm. See if they're observing you, and you can observe them back. But when you're part of that gallery, you never know which person happens to be scrolling through and looking at you. So you have to constantly put your best foot forward, putting the best version of you out there, because it's really a crapshoot, right? Anybody could be looking at you at any time. And if you think you're sneaking a quick look at your email and nobody's going to notice, you're wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like you're always on stage. Yeah. And although, as we said, this is predominantly business, but it is a business focus, but it is good for nonprofits. It's good for, you know, personal interactions, community interactions. Have you received any comments from folks who have read your books as to what they gained from it?
I've received so many wonderful comments from people in all different parts of the community. So whether it's somebody new in their career saying, oh, thank you, I never knew what to do, or somebody who's been in their career for a long time, doesn't even like to read books, and really said, wow, this is so helpful to me. I've changed the way I interact with others. Thank you for making it an easy to read book. And it's wonderful when you put something out there, it's a risk, right?
Right.
And to have people read it and find value in it, it's so exciting. Really, really exciting.
Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break. My guest tonight is Ann Corley Baum. She is an author and a Lehigh Valley business leader, and we are discussing her book series, Small Mistakes, Big Consequences, Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed, and Interviews. This is Sally Hanlon for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse.
This is WDIY Operations Director Neil Heaver asking you to become a new member, renew your membership, or add in an extra gift as we conduct our year-end fund drive. It's an important time for us to make sure that we get into January 2021 in good financial shape. It can be a gift any size that's comfortable for you. Our new memberships begin at $60. An average membership is $88.10. You can also spread it out over the course of the year with an evergreen membership for $5, $10, or $20 a month. However you wish to support us, we'd be grateful for it. You can call us at 610-758-8810 or go to wdiy.org to make your donation. And of course, as always, we thank you very much.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest, Ann Corley Baum, local author and Lehigh Valley business leader. We're talking about Ann's recently published books and her journey to becoming an author. And Ann, again, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Before we took the break, we were talking about some of the reactions that you were getting from new hires or people just interviewing to maybe seasoned managers. I think one thing that all of us are a little, I don't know, on edge about is COVID-19 impact on what's happening today. We can't shake hands. There's a lot of things that, you know, we're not supposed to be doing because of the virus, and we're doing Zoom more often. We talked a little bit about that before the break. What are your suggestions in how to deal with this, how to make sure that we're still coming across professionally, that people understand that we're there with our business integrity and want to pursue opportunities?
One of the best things that anyone can do in an awkward situation is to put the other person at ease right away. And with the lack of clarity on handshaking or elbow bumping or fist bumping, one of the easiest things that you can do is when you see somebody, you're greeting them. Now, this would be if you're in the same room, but socially distanced with your masks on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you stop at that safe distance. You let the person know, make great eye contact right away with that person and show them, smile under your mask. They can see that in your eyes and say something like, hello, Sally. I know we can't shake hands right now, but I'm so pleased to see you again. And I'm looking forward to our discussion. And then tell them the rules of the game for the meeting. We'll be sitting across this table with the plexiglass in between us, whatever you've decided, or you're outdoors sitting across the table, and take charge in a comforting way of that conversation. It takes the uncertainty out of the meeting. And by the way, I would err on the very conservative side right now with that social distancing, with masks on, without the handshake or even fist bump or elbow bump. You don't want to put that other person in an uncomfortable position if they are worried about passing the virus. And if you come up and give them a giant hug and say, oh, we're fine, we've been quarantining, that could ruin the whole relationship with the person, not to mention spread the virus. So err on the conservative side, take charge, put the other person at ease, and then you can get on with the business at hand. The other side of it is through video conferencing and really putting your best foot forward, making sure you've got a nice background behind you and not a lot of garbage sitting around or an empty wine bottle or dirty food plate or a pair of underpants or something.
You know what? The sad thing is I can envision that with some of the things I've seen. Okay.
I know. So you've seen it, right? And of course, back to our earlier conversation about perception, when you see a very professional background behind somebody, you're automatically thinking positive things about their professionalism. As soon as you see something not professional, that's the seed that gets planted in your head. So why let that happen? Control it, control your environment. Make it look beautiful. You can use the virtual backgrounds too, and just put your best foot forward so that others perceive you the way you want to be received.
That's great advice, Anne, because I haven't been on a whole lot of Zooms, but I've been on enough that what you've just shared is extremely important, because it really does. As you said, perception is reality. And when you see a background that's really not professional, it distracts from the conversation.
Right. And that's one of the things about all of the books in the Small Mistakes, Big Consequences series. The behaviors that I'm identifying for people to learn from are behaviors that are destructive. And they take away from the business at hand, and they remove or distract from that opportunity for you to get your message across. And the more you can read through these and avoid these distracting behaviors, the better you can present a version of yourself that is not only great for the relationship, but also, like in the interview book, can help you get the job and really stand out from the crowd.
Let's talk about the interview book for a minute. In the interview book, I think you've identified like 20 characters or so. And again, I was chuckling and wanting to make notes by most of them. And which for you, and if somebody's listening tonight and they're thinking, well, maybe I should get this book, could you highlight a couple that you maybe saw repeat a lot or that you felt were extremely important for people to be aware of? Let's grab the listener's attention here and focus on some of these 20 that you provided.
Well, in the book, I've identified characters that almost every single one of them are identifying an area of lack of preparation. And preparation is so important for an interview. One of the very first ones in the book is the late arriver. And the late arriver is the person who comes breezing in after the time of the interview, often disheveled, not looking like they're taking the interview seriously. And unfortunately, the message that sends to the interviewer is that this isn't important to you. And when they've got a pile of 100 or more resumes, the interviewer is looking to reduce that pile down to who those key candidates are. So don't let these little behaviors like arriving late be a reason that somebody takes your name off the list. You want to stay in the game as long as you can. One of the other ones that is included in the book is the personal shopper. And the personal shopper comes in and is, all they're asking about is benefits. Tell me what my vacation is.
Yeah, before they even start, yes.
Right. They're not even asking about the job or how they would, what success looks like in that job. And that's, of course, we have a great benefit package, but we're using that to attract the best candidate. I want to have a conversation with somebody who's demonstrating to me how they can do what we need to get the results we're looking for. We posted that job because we need a skill set. We didn't post a job to give out our benefits package. Of course we give it, but that's not the key element. And the more an individual can show how they're the right person for the job with the right skill set, with the enthusiasm, the willingness to learn, that's the person that's going to make it through the crowd, not the person who comes in with their list of what are you going to do for me? It's important for the interviewee to be interviewing the interviewer as much as you're interviewing each other.
Correct.
But it's not about benefits. Get the job first, then worry about the benefits.
I have been in some situations that recall just that, you know, where, you know, what are the benefits? Well, I'm not interested if you don't have this. Rather than even learning what the potential is, they just shut down right away. And that, obviously, that's somebody that we don't want.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the other book, the Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed. In that, you also identify a number of characters, and I'm going through the book right now to get to the titles of the characters, but some of them are a little bit like some of the interviewers, but not exactly the same, but I really liked the one called the blamer.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that so often. It's not my fault.
Right. The blamer isn't accountable for anything. They're always trying to find someone else to take the blame for something that went wrong. And unfortunately, what that does, there are a couple of really unfortunate results of that. The first is people don't rely on you because you're not accountable, and they don't want to be the target of your finger pointing and be the person that gets blamed. The other part of it that is unfortunate from a leadership perspective is if you make a mistake, you need to own it and help get it corrected. If you're constantly pointing the finger at others, your credibility over time really just falls away. And it's really important to be accountable. Own your mistakes, fix your mistakes, and then move on. And everybody makes mistakes, so own it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how we learn.
Yeah. Learn from it. Right, exactly. It's the only way we learn. We make a mistake, we learn from that mistake, we move forward, and we're better for having made that mistake.
The other one that I thought, and then I'll let you go to anyone that you want to point out, but the smartphone checker was just like, oh, yes, I've been with him or her.
Well, and unfortunately, if you're paying attention to, and we've got so many devices, right?
Right.
The phone, the watch, there's all these different devices going off, and the message that you're sending to the person that you're meeting with, if you're checking your phone or your email or looking at your watch, you're saying to them that they, the person that you're meeting with, is less important than all of those other things. So it's really important to, for a meeting, put the phone away, check your email later. Unless there's an urgent emergency call, like somebody in the hospital, you don't need the phone for that 30 minutes or an hour. Put it away. It'll be there after you finish. If the watch is constantly buzzing, telling you to stand up, tell you emails coming in, text, Instagram, all these things, don't wear the watch.
Just take it off for a half hour.
Yeah. Right. The greatest courtesy that you can offer to somebody with whom you're meeting is your full attention, to listen to them, to look them in the eye, to truly hear what it is that they're saying. And not only will you build great relationships that way, but you'll actually learn things from the other person. The idea that we can multitask and text and email and listen and speak at the same time, it's false. You can't really do it. It's really important to concentrate and give somebody your full attention.
Yeah, we try and fool ourselves and think that we're so organized, but you're absolutely correct. You have to just focus on what you're hearing and listening, and then actually, you know, hopefully checking for understanding so that how you heard it is exactly what you should be hearing. And where are your books available? Somebody listening tonight would like to get a hold of these.
The books are available anywhere that books are sold, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart.
Well, Anne, I want to thank you so much for being on the show this evening and being my guest. Listeners, again, this is Anne Corley-Baum. She's a local author, and she's a Lehigh Valley business leader. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your books with our listeners. And I'd like to thank James Johnson, who's our news and information director at WDIY, for running the board for us. And listeners, thank you so much for being a part of WDIY's program this evening. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.